Well, once again, greeting from Glory Gate Baptist Church and Christian School in the Alamo, Fiji. And I'm glad to be here. Thank you, Pastor, for having me here to share about our work and ministry at Glory Gate Baptist Church. And we are so blessed to know that brethren are praying and praying for us, helping us to achieve all that we are achieving today in the ministry. We would not be able to do all those things we are doing. It is by the grace of God and through your help and prayers, we are able to reach out to the people in the island of Fiji. And also I'd like to say, invite you all, if you like to come to have a holiday in Fiji, but make sure you think about the walking holiday. That will be a wonderful thing. You know, you can come and give some hand in the school and other ministries as well. My wife couldn't come because she is full-time engaged with the ministry there in the school and cooking for the children. But she will be joining me on the 27th of this month just for a break from all the work that she does throughout the month of March. And also, we are so glad to know that our son, Michael, is ordained to be a pastor. So he's holding the fort with a young man that was ordained, I think, 12 years ago, Pastor Delis. And probably some of you are knowing Brother Delis. He was a young man, and now he's also in the church and serving in full-time the Lord. So they're all working together and doing all kind of work around the property, in the school, so that we can keep the place as we go throughout the day. It is a challenging every day. It's a great challenge, and that's what I like challenge about. And it is exciting work. God's work is exciting work. To be a child of God, it is a tremendous blessing. We don't deserve it, but thank God that He gave us His Son, who came into this world and died sinner like me and like us. Aren't you glad you are saved this morning and know Him as your Lord and personal Savior? And as we read our text from Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 to 13, and we have seen Paul writing to the church at Philippi, and he's saying to them, finally, brethren, and he's helping them to understand his heart, and we're going to escape all this. Otherwise, we'll be taking some more time here, and you'll be sitting till after lunch. I'm sure you don't want to do that, and we're going to escape all the Bible reading this morning, as we have read this. And we will look at the theme or the topic that I have this morning is abounding or abased. It's very simple, sometimes we think of, but it's not that simple as we think. Because it needs to be very practical in our daily living days. And reading to the letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians this morning as we read, it gives us the understanding that how he relate himself in a very practical way of things that he needed in his own personal life to carry on to the work and the ministry of the Lord. And here is a golden opportunity for you and I to carry on and to keep on and keep thinking for the work and what God has laid in our heart so that we can be abounding or we can be abased. Whatever you can think of yourself this morning. But the thing is this here, one of the main problems with Christians today is that we have not obeyed Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Now, we need to think very carefully. It's not about, you know, what we're missing out in life. It's about as born-again believers, because Paul is writing to Christians. Amen? If he was writing to those who were not saved, it wouldn't mean any sense to them. But that letter was written to a church in Philippi so that they can have what he has for the church. And that's why we Christians, many occasions, we miss the point. And what we do, if we don't understand this simple verse in the Bible, as it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and it helps us to say that now, and be not conformed to this world. Now, we don't need to be genius to figure it out what it means, isn't it? It's simple. It's God's word. It can't be mine. It can't be anybody else. This is what God is saying to you and I. whether I believe it or not, but that is settled in heaven, whether we like it or not. But here it's helping us to understand that now we should not be conformed to this world, but he says, be ye transformed by renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good, what that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's what we need to know, that what is that for me as my Christian walk, as I do what I do for the glory of God. But the question is, why is that so? Why? Many times we go through that and we say, why so? What makes it so difficult? Because they do not renew their mind, or they do not go on to the next level of their Christian life. We are stuck at one place. We get saved. We think we got saved, but we're not sure about it. And we are stuck at that place. And we don't renew our mind. And we are not going to the next level of Christian faith. And we struggle with it. We saw a lot of people struggling physically, mentally, and spiritually. We struggle. But yeah, it's helping us to understand that now when we renew our mind, when we settle our heart with God, and we say to ourselves, Lord, I'm going to give my 100% to you. I'm not going to just do what I want to do, but I want your will be done in my life. And you see, that will be different. But the question is, what is that cause us to be confirmed to this world? What are some of the things that is driving us to be confirmed to this world and to love this world more than to love the Lord? We see this constant problem in the life of our Christian brethren. They love the world so much, you know, they have everything they can do to the world, but when it comes to the things of God, we find it that it's becoming difficult. So what is some of the thing that causes us to be confirmed to this world? Or how we are transformed in our Christian character? This question I need to ask to myself daily. How can I be transformed into this Christian character? We are thankful that, you know, in our school we teach children Christian characters, which is very important in education. In educating a child, is important they learn about Christian characters that can help for their lifetime span on this planet Earth. If we don't teach their Christian characters, as we see today, if you look at the prison system, they are not only the grassroots people are put into prison, but educated people. You talk about, you know, one time I have opportunity to go and visit the prison in Fiji. We have doctors locked up. We have teachers locked up. Even the prime ministers was locked up. Even most of the most educated people are in prison today. They have the education, they think they are knowledgeable, but their character development is not there. Sorry. Did I do something? The one technician, please. So here we can see that we are struggling in our Christian work. Ah. Thank you, sir. It happened. So here we are, we can see that, you know, how are we to transform in Christian character? And this is what we're going to help to understand some of the things that the Bible says we need to by renewing of our mind. We need to settle that in our mind that, you know, I have made to know, or I have been born again. I know Christ as my Lord and Savior. I will settle it. I won't let anything take over it. Many times our mind is there dribbling over a lot of things that we think about. Sometimes we even can't sleep. And that becomes a daily problem to many people today. People come to me and ask, I can't sleep at night. And they think that I'm a doctor. I can't prescribe them the medicine. But yeah, I got better medicine to prescribe them. Do you know the Lord? Do you settle your life with the Lord? Do you know He can help you and guide you and give you the greatest things that you can have so that you can have a wonderful things in life? So we need to learn to renew our mind, as he says in the scriptures. This is not talking about salvation, because Paul is speaking to brethren in verse 1. He's not talking to non-Christian. And he's talking about renewing of our mind to help us to understand. And he's talking to first to the people who are saved, who know Christ as their Lord and Savior. They know him, and that's why they were able to renew their mind and understand the things of the Lord. And the people who have been born again, he's talking to them. And also he's talking to, and most of the Paul's writing is directly to the Christian, and he was instructed to grow our daily living. We need to. And that is what we are. We are growing physically, but we need to grow spiritually. And that's why Paul is directing, that's what he's writing to Christians, so that they can grow and mature in the things of the Lord. And that's what we need to do. We need to help. If I am not living that life, how can I able to help others to live that life? So there are a lot of challenges to Christians and the born again today, because every eye is upon us. I don't know, but here in Fiji, they look what how I dress. They look. If I wear my little shorts and walk out in the shop, they look. Stop. That's what they look at. It is cultural. You know, they expect people if they, you know, they dress and they wear. And we need to maintain that to help them to show the love of God. But we need to be careful at the same time. Here, I find in verse 8 that we can see that Paul is admonishing to the things on the right things that he wants to think of. All the things that is right is helping us to understand the right things, the right motivation that we should have in helping others, sharing the gospel to others, and showing them the way that the Lord has showed and the way that they have taught. We see the 8 different adjectives in this verse. You know, when I was sitting and doing some studies on that, oh, I'm a teacher too, so I need to go into some English, you know, as English is our second language, so I need to learn English more to know how all the grammars work, and which is very poor in our country because they don't learn the grammar. They can speak well, but when it comes to writing and explaining, it becomes hard. So, Bible helps us there. So here is that we can see 8 different adjectives in this verse that when we become the source of our thinking, processing, you know, the think process, will renew our mind in the matter of Christian character. And that's how we can see and think and know and do what God wants to for each and everyone to do in our Christian life. That helps us to grow. So I will read it loudly. And so that we can follow what the scripture says about this. In Luke, especially in verse 6, in our text it says here, be careful for nothing, but in everything, he said, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, this is what the Bible says, let your request be made unto who? To God. It didn't say to anybody else. But sometimes people intend to rather to going before God, they go before man. So we always run to man. We're looking for quick solutions in our life. But we need to make all our requests made unto God. We need to go before God, whatever it may be. Sometimes we think, oh, God may be not able to listen to me. We have a lot of questions. People come to me, can you pray for me? I'll ask them, what's wrong with your prayer? Can't you pray? You see, they have in their mind that if you go to a pastor, we'll pray, and the message will deliver very quickly. You know, that is the thinking. But it's not right. And many pastors say, yes, come, I'll pray, and they start to look on the man rather than looking on God. So we need to encourage them and tell them, you pray. And many people will come and say, I don't know how to pray. You talk to me, that's how you talk to God. That's simple. Whatever you want to say to me today about your problem, why don't you take that one and talk to God? He's a good listener than I do. And he knows before you ask. So the request should be made to God, not to person. We need to constantly calling unto God, not only one time. If you are burdened in your heart, in your soul, for someone to know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to constantly bringing that person before the throne of grace. If you want to see result, if you want to see that person saved, if you really are burdened for soul, you pray. You know, and God will do the rest. And he'll bring things to pass as we look. See, the phrase there, be careful for nothing, does not mean to be careless. How many times we are careless, you can think of yourself, and I know many times we are careless on thinking on things that we shouldn't be. But we need to be careful. We need to be watchful. We need to be alert at all time. We shouldn't be careless. You know, sometimes when we are careless, we get into more problems and difficulties and situations arise, whether at home, whether at work, whether around us. So we need to be careful at all things, and we shouldn't be careless. That means that we are to replace our anxiety in, as verse 6 says, and we're thinking of what verse 8 says. And that will help us to think right and straight and make things and decision that God wants us to make in life today. And as we see, Peter and Paul says in verse 8, think of this thing. What thing is talking about? As we read this morning, he said, think of this thing. And when we think about all these things that he said in verse 8, then we can see that we are making a right decision for ourselves. And that's why then this is right kind of thoughts. What are we thinking today? What is our thoughts today regarding the issues or matter, the problem, or whatever you face in your life daily? How are you assessing and processing it in your own personal life? Is God in there? Are you talking to God with those things? Are you bringing all this matter before his throne, that what you're going through? Everything, each and everything we go through the day, we need to bring it before the throne of grace so that, you know, we have a right kind of thoughts and so that we don't be a stumbling block or think to others or to your own family maybe. It's very, very, you know, many times we just do things not realizing it. And we're hurting a lot of people than doing good to them. And it happened most of the time. Each word, I pray, Lord, that this morning when I'm going to interact with somebody or somebody come and talk to me, Lord, I may be very, very careful of my words, what I say. I want God, I want to be more listening than talking and telling them what they should do. They should listen to God and knowing that what God can do in them rather than I can do. So the thoughts need to be right kind. It need to be thoughts that can able to speak to their hearts and help them. And also we see, look further in Gospel of John chapter 14 and verse 26 to 27, the Bible says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring what? All things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, why so hard for people to believe that? Or to look and depend upon God than depending on something else? You see, we were, in our young age, we were brought into a system or in a religion that have no hope. There is no hope at all. We were depending upon those things. And when we looking for something, we couldn't find it. Because those things doesn't give hope. But we have hope in Christ. When we have that kind of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he says, the Comforter, which the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He said, he will teach. He is the teacher. He will teach you all things. He's not hiding anything from us. If anything is hiding, is you and I are hiding from him. I'm not able to hear or to be taught. But he wants to teach all things. And he said, he will bring all things into your remembrance, whatsoever I said unto you. So God didn't give us just 50% of things he gave us for. He paid it all. Each and everything he did for us, for our own glory. Then he said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. He said, it's not the world giveth. He said, give I unto you. Let your heart not be troubled. Be not troubled, neither let it be afraid. When we think about all these things, you know, the scriptures that can give us the encouragement to help us be focused on those things that God wants us to know. But many times, you know, the weight of the worries and the fears of the world and the things that is surrounding us takes our mind and heart away from these things. We need to constantly remind ourselves that the peace that people are looking today is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other name that is given under the heaven that people can say that I'm finding peace. They can run for the rest of their life, they won't find peace. But Jesus, he is saying that peace I leave with you. He said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. What you find in the world today, you are excited about. Nice car? It doesn't last long, does it? Mansion? You have to keep maintaining it. That's why they call mansion. You have to do all kind of maintenance, and we're doing all kind of mansion to keep it up. You see, nothing, you can go in the world and you can have everything, but you have a peace. Peace is only found in Christ. If you have the Lord in your heart, you have a peaceful journey to go with. And that's why he's saying, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Christian, are you excited?
Amen.
Right? We're not to be living in trouble. Trouble shouldn't be in our life. Trouble should flee from us because we have Christ in us. He is our peace. And we shouldn't be afraid of anything that goes around us. You know, one time one person came to me when there was a great thing happening in Israel and the embassy were going and he was coming. He's supposed to be a Christian. And he was just blaming God that why God allowed these things to happen. Only one thing I told him, go read your Bible, my man. Read your Bible. God is the answer for everything. If you don't read the Bible, you don't spend time in the Bible, then you got trouble. Then you're afraid what is happening today. Then you don't have peace because you don't know him as your Lord and Savior. But if you know him as your Lord and Savior, you're not afraid of. You don't go through all those things in life, but you know that. That's why I say to everybody, absent from this body is present with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I have the confidence. If any moment I go, I will be in God's hand. He paid it all for me. I have nothing to worry. We say in Fiji, Senga ina lenga. That means don't worry. Leave it to God. If you know him, just keep going. And he's going to help you and guide you. See, all this leads up to verse 11 and 12, which that we have seen and we have read. And it is the first thing, you know, is that this part of the Christian sanctification, which is the peaceful heart, that will give a great peace. And that's why God has sanctified us. That's why we are set apart for his glory. We are created in his own image and likeness to give him glory and honor and praise. And that is what is because we have that peaceful heart. We don't have any doubt of our salvation. If you have any doubt of your salvation, I will urge you this morning, brethren, see your pastor. Just see before you leave this place. If you have any glimpse of doubt in your heart, then I don't know if I die, what will happen. You don't waste time. Tomorrow may be too late. You need to have that peaceful in your heart this morning. And that is what he's talking about, is the, you know, Christian sanctification. And how we do it then in Philippians 4, verse 11, he says, not that I speak in respect of one. He said, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therein therewith to be content. Content in every state, in every step we take. Sometimes we think that, you know, oh, it's very hard. It's not. If you know the Lord, you're going to just keep going. Whether you have it, you don't. It doesn't matter. In Lord's timing, everything will happen. And it will. So we need to be content in every state we are in. And here it helps us to understand in verse 12, it says, I know both now to be abased, and I know how to abound. He says, everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. And he says, both to be abound and to suffer need. That is what his message. He went through all this. He knows how to handle it. Can we say to ourselves this morning, honestly, that in every situation that I face in my life, I know how to handle it. I can. It's not about people. It's not about who's saying what. It's not about what they're saying about me. I know my God. You know, he lives in my heart. I can handle every situation that comes. Because I am content with all things that he has given. Now, one of the things that he is talking about, that this is a learning process. We all are learning, isn't it? You know, I'm still learning. You know, I'm just, every time I read God's word, whoa, how could I miss that? It's just new. It's exciting. Bible is an exciting place to go. If you spend your quality time in that, reading, I don't know how many times I read from Genesis to Revelation, but still I'm learning. I won't know all the things till I die. Probably get to heaven and know. Or talk to Abraham or all those, how they happened. What happened? How they made it? It will be exciting. It's exciting, but it's not a boring book. You know, that's why I say in our school, Bible is our textbook. And a parent, when they come to enroll a child, I say, this is our textbook. If you agree, then you enroll. If not, sorry, go to public school. We need to be firm and straight right from the beginning what we teach. Because all our curriculum is biblical. Amen? That we can teach children and help them. Now, notice Paul said, I have learned. You know, if you do some research, which I don't have time to go all on that, but he was a very educated person. Yeah. He knows everything. But when he came to this position here to serve God, when God called him, he said, I have learned. What he has learned? It is not a natural process to be satisfied with either or both conditions. We either are satisfied with one or not the other. But here, he was content and he has learned to be happy in whatever status that he has in, or whatever things he had. You know, if this is what God has for me, hallelujah. I thank God. I glorify him. I won't look the neighbor and say, Lord, look, Lord. Oh, Lord, look there. And Lord, look here. We compare, isn't it? We look at somebody and say, Lord, they are not serving you, I'm serving you, Lord. So we compare. We need to be content. Whatever state that we are in, whatever condition it may be, we need to be state. In verse 12, he says, I know. How did he know? He learned. He learned. Christian walk is a learning walk. We learn every step, every day. We obey God. We learn. There are a lot of things we are learning as we walk through this journey that God has given us. It is a short journey. We are living in a very borrowed time. I don't know, you may have heard me many times preachers will preach about, we got very borrowed time. The way things are going today, you know, we are living in a very borrowed time. If you have to stand before God, what are you going to say to him? I don't know some people, what are they going to say? How are we going to see him face to face? It is said, You know, when we go to see people or witness to people, we sit with them and we talk to them and we see the need. And I can't just stand away and walk away. I've learned to stand up and to do what God can help me to do, even little. So here we are to help and to demonstrate the love that God himself had demonstrated on the cross of Calvary. Not because we are good people, not because we were so one of the nicest people in the world that God was so happy to give his son. You know, this world was dying, and God gave his son to die for our sin. He rose again victoriously. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to seeing him face to face when my days and times are over in this earth. When I stand before God, I'm looking to hear, "Well done, my faithful servant. Come and inherit the kingdom of heaven." One day, a wonderful day to see God and to know that what he looks like. So he learned, and we have to learn. If we haven't learned to be content with any of all outcomes of life, then you are still in a learning process of the kindergarten. That's what I do to the children who come from, they don't know how to read and write. I take them back to year one and start them again all the way. And that is good about our curriculum today. In Christian life, we need to go back to our kindergarten. Start learning. Spend more time with God, with brethren who can help you and help us. We can motivate us and give us the wisdom that they have so that we can grow step by step into a Christian life. Otherwise, we'll be just babes in Christ. There should be no change between abounding and abasement. As simple as this, that now Paul is saying that to be content with either or both condition. We need to be happy whether we have it or we don't have it. We can't do a moan and groan about it, is it? Like the children does. Sometimes grown up, they have too much moan and groaning going. I'm not happy. You know, what you're happy with that? Issues and things, you know, we have to face. You know, anybody's perfect here? Yeah, I'm not either. We are just on the same roll, isn't it? We learn to interact with one another, even the outcome of whatever the situation we may face in life. It is easy to stand up and walk, isn't it? But you don't know what you're going to miss out. But we need to learn, be both. Whether it's a good time, whether it's a bad time, whether whatever situation it may arise, I will be content and happy. And I think that most people give off the certain attitude when abounding and then totally different attitude with abasement. Totally different. When everything is going happy, they will be standing and shouting and going everywhere, but nothing going good. What happened to them? Seems like somebody thrown a bomb at them. So we need to be, you know, be content with all them. Our focus is to stay steady, whether abounding or base. We need to focus. But the focus needs to be on him. But if you take your focus out of him, then there is different scenario you will face in life. And the outcome appearance of Christian life should not be varied between abounding and base. Shouldn't be. You know, it should be, you know, just be content, be happy. God had provided the one of the wonderful things you have already obtained in yourself, the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. Can I see some excitement here this morning? Yeah, how can we have, you know, the Spirit of God in us and you go live, you know? Oh, brother, you know what I'm telling you today. You know, every day need to be with excitement. Even we go through pain and aches and all these things, you know, complaining is not a good thing. Just be content. Be happy. Be excited to serve God. See, he's rejoicing because Philippian people had met the great need, you know, for him in physical way, or for it. He's not concerned about the matter of want. You know, we always run after want, that's why we are in a lot of problems. But when we contend with what we have, we'll see that. We'll always be happy and we're always praising God. We'll always be thanking him because he is content in what he has, not what he wants. See, we all have wants. He's saying this, if things are going good, I know how to handle it. When things go good, he says, I know how to handle it. If the things go bad, I can handle that also. What about you this morning? Can you say in your heart, even though the things go good, I handle it, you know, and if it doesn't work the way I'm thinking is working, I also can handle it. Don't quit. Don't throw. Handle the situation. Stay focused. Look at Christ. He's the one who will give you the strength and answer. Listen to me, and I'm on the self, or some of us, or some of you are living. Either way, or I haven't learned how to handle this thing yet. I'm just surfacing, or walking with the flow, or I really know him, my Lord. He is with my heart, in every condition. In every situation, or I haven't learned how to handle when things go nasty or things go bad. I don't know how to handle it. I run away, I cry. But I know how to handle when Jesus is in my heart. This is the best part of the sermon, I know. I'm not happy. This is the best part, you know. Ah, all right, we are done, we can go. But anyway, listen to these deep spiritual thoughts. And that can help us. Wherever he leads me, I will follow. Can you say, right to your heart, Lord, wherever you're going to lead me, I will follow. It's not a matter of age or what I have, but I will follow. I will go. Or whatever he feeds me, I will follow. No complaints. We are people with full of complaints. Even children are complaining. He said, Mom, I don't want to eat that. If you give them vegetables, I said, no. But we are blessed that whatever he feeds me, I will swallow. Some of us have a learning process to go through it. I mean, to grow as a Christian, to be mature. To know to stand, to face all kind of difficulties we face in life today. Nothing is easy, my friend. Nothing. We face all kind of drama daily. Then Fiji is even worse. It's sad to say to somebody comes, you know, they will come, they will sit, and they will cry, they mourn, please, please. That's a Fijian word. When they sit on the floor or on the ground, you mean they mean they are in really pain or in difficulties. And you can't just turn around and walk away. We help. What we can, we do. God brings people in our path in different forms. And sometimes, if I turn my back on them, I've missed the golden opportunity. So, brethren, I just want to encourage you this morning, to challenge you. Let me contend with all that we have. Sorry, I've done something wrong here. Here you go. And that's the end of my sermon this morning. And thank you for listening. Thank you for praying. And I also like to invite you to come this morning if the Lord has spoken to your heart. If you know him as your Lord and Savior, are you content? Are you happy what you have? If not, call unto God to help you so that you can be focusing on him. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, and you're saying to yourself this morning, I don't know whether I'm born again or not, or I'm not sure about my salvation, will you come and talk to your pastor so they can help you, show it from the Word, not his Word, from God's Word, how you can be born again. This is a golden opportunity. And then you won't complain again. You'll be content for the rest of your life, singing and praising God.